If you have your Bible with you, could I ask you please to turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Tonight we want to look upon three lives, three different people, all saved by the grace of God. And tonight we want to look at each one of their lives and at how the Lord saved them and mightily used them in his work and service. Starting to read Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. And we want to read at the first verse. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offense, for it must needs be offence come, but woe to them, to that man, by whom the offence cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand and thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt and lame, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always beholding the face of my Father which is in heaven. Amen. We know that the Lord will bless his own precious word to all of our hearts. If you have your Bible with you again, could I ask you please to turn back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. And with the Word of God open, let us turn to the Lord in prayer. And let each one of us ask the Lord that he'll come and bless the preaching of the Word of God to all our hearts. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank thee again for this hymn that we have been singing together. And Lord, and oftentimes we have to say, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wondered how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. And Lord, we thank thee for the power of the gospel. We thank you, Lord, that Christ is able to save to the uttermost and I, Lord, to the very guttermost. And Lord, as we come before thee now for this important hour of the meeting, that, Father, thou would bless the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, we realize we cannot cause an anxious thought. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And Lord, as we come to look at three lives, all different in different ways, but praise God, all saved through the blood of the cross. And Father, we do pray for the young people in this gathering here tonight. Lord, we thank you for them. Thank you for them coming to a gospel evening service. And we ask you, O God, that thou will continue to bless them and lead them on with thyself. And Lord, if there be one in our meeting here tonight, Lord, saved, lead them on. Aye, Lord, even to full-time service for thee. Make them preachers and missionaries of the gospel. And Lord, save the lost amongst us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, and young people, it's lovely to see young people in a gospel service on a Sunday night. We're reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. And can I say to all who work with children, love them, cherish them, and be faithful to them. Children's work is one of the most important and vital works there is in the work of God. You know, Rome will say, give me a child till it's seven, and then you can do whatever you like with it after that. But we have seen over the years of the brutality and the cruelty of Rome towards children. But ladies and gentlemen, little children are precious in the eyes of the Lord. And then I say this to the young people and to the old, to the children. In your youth, learn as much as you can of the Word of God. My little children love to sing that little chorus, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And you young person, make that the prayer of your heart, that the Lord would hide his word in your heart, that you would not sin against him. The Lord Jesus Christ was asked the question, "Who is the greatest in heaven?" And you know, down here, people are striving for power and for position. But praise God, when we all get home to glory, we'll all be on the same level field, saved and washed in the precious blood. No difference. We're all the same, just sinners saved by grace. And the Lord said in this verse 3, he says, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Do you ever find how Sunday school teacher, you teach the word of God to little children, and they go home and they tell their moms and dads exactly what they learned at Sunday school or at youth work? And how often has it been said, a little child shall lead them? They understand it simply and plainly, and they come and put their trust in the Lord. We live in a day where the word converted, the word saved and born again is not common throughout our land today. But these were the words that our forefathers, and praise God, throughout our free church are still the words that we continue and will always continue to use. That you need to be saved, that you need to be born again, and you need to be converted. Little is made of the gospel. Little is made of Christ and the cross and of the blood. But as we draw near to the second coming and return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to be lifting up the banner of the cross and continue to make much of the blood and of the Lamb. And to the young people and to the older in this meeting tonight, except ye be converted, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Those are not the words of this preacher. They're not the words of the denomination of this church. They're the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Christ spoke these words when he said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Ladies and gentlemen, the word saved is a word, a powerful word. To be saved means to be delivered from the power and the wrath of sin and hell and judgment itself. To be saved from the fire. You've heard it said that when the firemen go in and they take, the people say, "Thank you for saving my life." Well, we are saved from the fire. We're saved from hell. We're saved from the wrath and the judgment which is to come. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. To be born again, to be born of the Spirit of God, to be born of above. My dear friend, we need to be born again, and those are much words that we need to continue to sound in the ears of the people. You must be born again. There's no other way into heaven. You have to be, you must be born again, and you must be born again of the Spirit of God. I find in this day and age in which we live, and especially among our young people, they're getting caught up in the trend of easy believism. There's no true repentance. There's no conviction of sin. My dear friend, you must be born again. And you must be born again of the Spirit of God. To be converted simply means to turn right round. To turn round from the direction that you're heading and to go in an opposite way. My dear sinner friend, tonight you need to be converted. You need to turn right round. You need to turn from your sin and you need to turn to Christ and trust the Lord as your Savior. For if you don't turn, as the old Puritan said, it's either turn or burn. You must turn or you're going to burn. I want tonight to look at three lives. Three people in the Bible who the Lord wonderfully converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you please to turn in Acts chapter 8. And I want us for a little while to look at the life of Saul, who became Paul. Now, many of us in this church, and I know not throughout our churches, will be very familiar with the life of Saul. Saul was a religious man. To believe it when you read it, he was a religious man. He was a very zealous man. But what Paul thought was right in his own eyes was wrong in the eyes of the Lord. We first pick up Saul in chapter 7, and we find his name mentioned in verse 58, and we find that at the martyrdom of Stephen, they were stoning Stephen to death, and it says, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and witnesses laid down their cloaks at a young man's feet. He's a young man. And they laid down his cloaks at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And then we come into chapter 8 and we find a little bit more about him. And it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And look at this. And at that time, there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. You can see the situation here. The church of Jesus Christ is under persecution, and Saul is at the head of this. Saul is leading these great attacks upon the church of Christ. You read on down and it says, and they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. But we find again in verse 3, and as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into the house and hurling men and women, committing them to prison. So ladies and gentlemen and young people, you're beginning just to see a little bit of the background and the life of Saul. He sent fear right into the church of Christ. And he went about and he found any man or woman and boy or girl who believed in Christ, and he took them and he bound them into prison. It says there in verse 4, wherefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You know, again, I go back to Rome tried to put out the preachers of the gospel in England and throughout the world by burning them at the stake. And it was said that for every martyr that lit, they lit the flames of the gospel. And what Rome thought they were putting out the gospel, they were just lighting the flame more and more as the martyrs died for Christ. And as the church of Christ was under persecution, as Saul was at the head of this, and Saul was persecuting the church, my friend, the gospel of Christ continued to spread. As the churches were being scattered, the people went about everywhere preaching the word of God. You know, we know nothing about persecution. We know nothing about persecution. And yet there are other parts of the world tonight, and they're under deep persecution. There are those tonight who are being put to the stake, put in prison for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, we ought to privilege and thank God for our great heritage and our civil and religious liberty and that God-given right that is ours to preach the gospel. That we have tonight the freedom to meet in a meeting like this, none coming in to burst us out, to trail us out into the streets and to put us in prison. And we have to thank God for this great heritage that we have today. But we can see here that the apostle Saul, he made havoc of the church. He found men and women and he committed them to prison. But when we come over to chapter 8, we begin to see there's going to be a change taking place in the life of Saul. And you know, ladies and gentlemen and young people, there's no one too hard for the Lord. There's no one too hard for the Lord. And you may think, oh, preacher, if you knew my past and you may have... Listen, I don't want to know anything about it at all. Because God knows all about it. But what I want to plead with you tonight is this, that you will come to know my Savior, that you will take the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, because He is able to save you and to set you free. You see, we find the situation and the terror that's going through the church. And here we find in chapter 9, we find, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples. Do you see the heart of this man? This man's heart is wicked. This man's heart is vile. And this man is showing no mercy whatsoever to God's people or to the house of God. And ladies and gentlemen, you can say to yourself here tonight, you know, that man deserved, and yes, he did, every right that he deserved to be took out into eternity with no mercy. But you see, God is a pardoning God. He's a merciful God. And we find that Saul so hated the church. He hated it, and he went out, and he slaughtered them. And then we find in verse 2, it says, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any this way, that man being in Christ, whether there were men or women, that he might break them bounds onto Jerusalem. Paul goes in and he says, look, give me letters that I can go to Damascus, and if I find any of this way, I'll bring them back to Jerusalem, and we'll put them in prison. We'll put them in prison. He received the letters. And verse 3 says, and as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus. He didn't get to Damascus. He came near to it. And on that way to Damascus, the Lord intervened. The Lord stepped in. And what we're looking at here tonight is a dramatic conversion. A man that is hell-bent. A man that is violent towards the church of Christ. A man whose heart is full of rage. If he can find any of this way. And on his way to Damascus, the Lord steps in. The Lord steps in. And maybe that's you here tonight. Someone has invited you to come to the gospel meeting. But really in your heart, you don't really want to be here and you don't care what you hear. But my friend, already now, God's beginning to deal with your heart and deal with your soul. Maybe last night it found you out in a public house in a drunken state. But here tonight, God has you in a gospel meeting, hearing the words whereby you can be saved. And my friend, listen, if you come to Christ, you'll go out that door a new creature in the Lord. That's how you'll go out. One way on your way to hell, the next on your way to glory. Just like that. In a moment. Born again of the Spirit of God. You see, Saul was on his way to Damascus, and we're told there as he came in verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and get this wee bit, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. You know, when I got saved, I went into the factory, and I told the boys that after a few days, I was fighting in my heart, and I just come up and I says, boys, I want to tell you something. I've got saved. They laughed. They laughed. But I said, I don't care what you said, I've got saved. And it went around the factory. Oh, such and such. Stevie saw the light. He saw the light. My friend, I didn't see a light. I come under conviction of sin. And such was the burden of that conviction, it broke this poor sinner to cry out, God be merciful to me, a sinner. My friend, it wasn't the light that saved Paul. It says there, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice. He heard a voice. And my friend, let me say this, it's the Spirit of God speaking to your heart tonight. That voice that is speaking to you, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My friend, that's the Spirit of God speaking and striving in your heart. And my friend, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but call upon him while he is near. Saul heard the voice, and it said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why persecutest thou me? Saul, you're not doing this unto the church. You're persecuting my people, but Saul, you're doing it unto me. You're doing it unto me. And maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you love to make fun of God's people. You love to sneer at them and snigger at them. And maybe your mom and dad say, and you're saying, well, that's mom and dad for you. Listen. You're not doing it unto them, but you're doing it unto the Lord. Why persecutest thou me? The Saul says, who art thou, Lord? It's for a change now, hasn't it? 1 minute he was going about racking and finding anybody who professed the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now he's on his knees and he says, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick again the pricks. And you know, ladies and gentlemen and young people, are you kicking again the pricks? Are you kicking again them? You're holding in. You know that you should be saved. You know that things are not right. And you know that God is striving with your heart. But tonight finds you and you're still bedrocked. You're still kicking again the pricks. Is it not time you threw down your puny arms of rebellion and come and trust the Lord as your own and personal Savior? Because on the way to Damascus, Saul met with the Lord. Yes, the Lord could have took Saul out. He could have said, Saul, you've come close enough, far enough, and I'm taking you out. But the Lord didn't. The Lord showed mercy to Saul. And the Lord saved them. And you know what? If you look on down of a time tonight, Saul became the Apostle Paul. From the one who was the church wrecker, the one who caused havoc throughout the church, read you through the Bible and you'll find his testimony. And you'll find what God did in the life of the Apostle Paul. He made him one of the greatest evangelists and one of the greatest preachers after Christ. From being the havoc and the wrecker of the church, he became a church builder. And he became an encourager to the brethren in the Lord. You see, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. And maybe there's a young man in this meeting tonight. My dear friend, God can save you where you sit in your seat. And you can become one of Ulster's greatest ever preachers it ever had. That can happen. Maybe there's a young lady in this meeting tonight. And God can save you. He can single you out of this gathering and save you. And you can become one of the greatest missionaries. My friend, it is no secret what God can do. What he has done for others, he will do for you. But you see, we have to leave Paul there. We know that Ananias, the Lord went to Ananias in verse 10, and you'll find it out how he told him to go in and acquire of one of Saul of Tarsus. And I often think, what did he feel when the Lord said, go and see Saul? He must have said, Lord, you're going to end my life here. You've heard all about this man. And I said to our brother today, if the Lord had told me and you to go and meet him, would have went and met him. I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, we should always be willing to welcome whosoever comes through the door. And if they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, then put out your hand of fellowship and welcome them in the Savior's name. And that's what the Lord used this disciple of the Lord to be. To put his hand on Saul and to encourage him in the work of God. And that's why I said at the start, to the youth, to the young, encourage them, nurture them, bring them on in the Lord. But we're going to turn to another person's life, and we're coming now to the lady. If you come over to Acts chapter 16, we want to look at another lady who was wonderfully converted to Jesus Christ. We find Saul was converted on his way to Damascus, but here we come to the riverside in Acts 16, and we come down to verse 13, and we'll read it. And on the Sabbath day, that's great. On the Sabbath day, on the Lord's day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women that resorted hither. And there was a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Tyrea. So here you find a lady. A lady begins to come out of the Word of God. And Saul, get this wee bit, Saul, who became Paul, has now been given the vision to go over and help them in Macedonia. And as he stands at this riverside, he preaches Christ. Get it? When you go out into the open air, you don't preach about the church and you don't preach about politics. You preach Christ. You preach Christ. And this prayer wants to be made. And these ladies have all met for prayer, but just sitting a little bit away from them, there's a little lady named Lydia. Now, let's see a wee bit about Lydia's life. Lydia, she comes from Tyre, on which who worship God. And look at that wee bit, and underline it in your Bible. Heard us. She heard the Apostle Paul as he preached. And you know, young people and older people and those who are involved in open air work, just preach the Word of God. Because you and I don't know who's sitting in those houses, who's sitting on the streets, but they're listening. And that's why I tell you tonight, preach Christ and Him crucified. And as we come into this gathering tonight, I don't know your heart, I don't know your situation, but it's my responsibility to preach Christ. To preach Christ. And Lydia heard us. She heard us. And look at the last wee bit. Whose heart the Lord opened. You see it? And what I call this conversion, I call it a silent conversion. I call it a silent one. There's no dramatic fuss out of Lydia here. There's no putting up the hand or making a shuffle in the meeting or anything like that. My dear friend, it's God that's dealing with the individual. It's the Holy Spirit who's opening up the heart of Lydia. Paul's preaching, and he doesn't know that the Lord's at work in the heart of a person. The Lord knows not, or Paul doesn't know who it is whose heart the Lord has opened, but Paul's preaching the gospel. He's preaching the gospel. And she's listening. And she heard us. And it says there, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which we spoke of, was spoken of Paul. She was took up with the gospel. She heard Paul, and you can look through his life. Everywhere he says, we preach Christ and Him crucified. And I have no doubt that Paul's preaching Christ here. He's preaching about Calvary. He's preaching about the cross. He's preaching about the blood. He's preaching about Christ coming. And he's teaching them concerning the things of God. And Lydia is beginning now to listen. And her heart's beginning to open up. My dear friend, is that you in the meeting tonight? All I can see is faces in this meeting tonight. But I can't see into the heart. But maybe in these pews in this building tonight, the Lord is beginning to open up the heart. The heart is beginning to open up concerning the things of Christ. Concerning your need to be saved. Beginning to bring to you the reality, if you die without Christ, you're going to be lost. And my friend, you need to repent. And sitting in your pew, the Lord is opening your heart. And you're now beginning to attend unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Maybe you've been coming here for the last few weeks and months. And as Roger opens up the Word of God and as he preaches week in, week out, my dear friend, you know, sitting in your pew, the Lord's speaking to me. The rest of the congregation can't see it. And sometimes you're going out and saying, if there was no one else in that meeting, then that was for me. That was for me. Is that your heart tonight? The Lord opened it up. You beginning to attend unto the things as spoken by the preacher? Then, my friends, where you sit, you can call upon the Lord to come in and to save you. My friend, I urge you to call upon the Lord. You see, my friend, the Lord will not always speak. Because God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And that's why I say, if you hear His voice today, harden not your heart, but call upon Him while He is near. I can thump this pulpit, I can shout till the roof falls down, I can shout till I go purple in the face. But ladies and gentlemen, I can't save you. I can't open your heart. I can't cause an anxious thought within your heart. My friend, that is all of the Holy Ghost and the work of the Lord. And Lydia, just sitting by that riverside, God opened up her heart. And Lydia was gloriously converted to Jesus Christ. You read on down, you find that verse 15, and when she was baptized, and that shows us there was a work of grace done in the woman's heart. She was a religious woman. She was a hard-working woman. She was a well-respected woman. But God opened up her heart, and there in that river, Lydia was baptized. And that shows to us that there was a mark of grace. There was a work done in her heart. But not only was Lydia baptized, and her household. Do you get that? My dear friend, you come to Christ tonight and you go to this meeting, people right away will see there's a difference in your life. And you could be the means of bringing your brother and sister, your mom and dad and grannies to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's a difference wrought in your heart. Lydia's heart was opened by the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we need today. I'm getting a little bit tired of this easy believism and people standing up and saying 40, 50 here and there, but I don't see them. You don't see them at the prayer meeting, or they go on for a little phase and then they fall away. The question has to be asked, was there ever a work done in their heart? Because when there's a work done in the heart, it's sure to last. Because who Christ saves, he keeps. He keeps. Lydia wonderfully converted to Jesus Christ. But I want to leave you finally with one other person. And it's in the same chapter. We looked at a man who was a church wrecker, a persecutor of the church. And we look at a hard-working woman, a religious woman, whose heart the Lord opened. But if you come down to verse 25 of Acts chapter 16, we're coming to look at a different character. We're coming to look at a prison warden. And we find there that Paul and Silas have been put in prison. Now just let me say this before I go on. Did you get this little bit? Away back in Damascus, the Lord saved a man called Saul, right? And then the Lord turned Saul became Paul the evangelist. Now what's he doing? He's leading souls to Jesus Christ. You see it? God took that man from the pit. He took him out of the dust of Damascus, and Paul became a witness, and Paul became a soul winner for Jesus Christ. Lydia. And now he's stuck in prison. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoner heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and every man's bonds was loosed. Now get this. And the keeper of the prison waked out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. Now this is what I call a rock bottom conversion. Here's a man who's about to plunge himself out into eternity. Here is a man who's about to bring an end to his life. He sees that the prisoners are gone. He sees the doors are open. And he realizes my job's on the line. And I'm going to lose my head. And rather than do that, I'm going to plunge my own life out into eternity. He's a man who's rock bottom. And ladies and gentlemen, let me say this tonight. There are many in Ulster under rock bottom. Rock bottom. Destroyed by drugs, destroyed by alcohol, destroyed by the deeds of the flesh. And tonight, my dear friend, they're at the end of themselves. Rock bottom. And I've witnessed it in Portadown, loyal as it may be. But yet, my dear friend, there are those in our town who are rock bottom. But look at the voice, verse 28, it says, and Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. And ladies and gentlemen and young people, maybe there's one in the meeting and your life's rock bottom. It's empty and there's nothing in it. Listen, there's a voice cries out of the dark, do thyself no harm. Down along the River Ban on a Saturday night, pitch black, you'll find young people from as young as 11 into their early teens sitting with drugs and with alcohol. But praise God, there's a team that goes out and the cry is this, do thyself no harm, for we are here. And young person and older person tonight, will you stop continuing on in your sinful life and doing yourself no more harm and come to Christ? Come to Christ and be saved for all of eternity. My dear friend, I have to say it tonight, that bottle, that alcohol, my friend, it will damn your soul in hell. It will rob you of your life. It will destroy your body, aye, even your family, and rob you of your business. And when it's finished, it will damn your soul in hell. Young person, it's the same with the drugs. It starts off as a little tablet, and then it gets hold of your body, and before you know it, you're injecting it in, and that heroin becomes your very breath. Can I say to you tonight, stop doing thyself no harm and come to Christ. Ah, Lord, I've tried the broken cisterns, but ah, the water's failed. There's now none but Christ can satisfy. My friend, if you would only come to Christ. Oh, that you'd only come to that fountain of living water and taste and see that the Lord is good. My friend, what did he say? The thief have come to destroy and to steal. And that's what the devil has come. He has come to destroy lives. And not only to destroy their lives, but to damn their soul in hell. But my friend, Christ says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. My friend, have you got life? Have you got life that's worth living? Or are you like this Philippian jailer who's rock bottom? Who only can see himself staring out into eternity. And now there cries out a voice from the dark that says, do thyself no harm. For we are here. For we are here. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what the church is here for. The church is here to be a lighthouse. The church is here to be a saving shop within the gates of hell. Oh, that the message of the gospel, it rings out Sunday after Sunday. And I know your pastor is faithful and true to the blood and to the book. And if he was here tonight, he would say the same thing. Stop doing thyself any harm and come to Christ. You know why? Because we don't want to see you lost. That's why. We love you in the Savior's name. And if we could, we'd put you on our back and we'd carry you right into glory. But we can't do it. Oh, my friend, you need to come to Christ and you need to be saved. Three people, three different lives, but all were gloriously converted to Jesus Christ. And my friend, this Philippian jailer, he called for a light and sprung in, came trembling and fell down with Paul and Silas. You know, we need to see the conviction. We need the trembling. He came in and he fell down before Paul and Silas. And he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Is that you tonight? You know you need to be saved. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. Oh, my friend, take Christ as your Savior. Don't leave this service tonight without him. I can assure you tonight, he is no disappointment. If you'd all but only come and trust him as your own and personal Savior, he wants to give you life. He wants to give you a life that is worth living. A life more abundantly. And he wants to give you everlasting life and a home in heaven. Stop doing thyself harm. Come to the Savior. Trust him today. Make no delay. Come now. And Christ will save your soul and redeem it through the precious blood of the Lamb. May God bless his own precious word to all of our hearts. We're going to sing one verse.